I'm out. Maybe.
Ah, this is Big Three Radio London. Ah, this is something I wondered about doing. When I came back last time, he decided he didn't want to be on the day that I was on. He was going to be on a different day. Fevzi Turkamp, the editor of GadgetDetective.com and a host of the Gadget Detective podcast. They had a little hiatus. Now it's doing incredibly well. He's really difficult to get hold of. He's here to discuss the latest tech news, his top recommendations, and answering some of your tech questions. Fevzi, how are you?
Hello. Yeah, good, thank you.
Is that all you got? I'm good. I've had a good night's sleep. I've missed you. I haven't talked to you for ages. Is that all you got?
I've had 3 hours sleep, but can I say?
So you're bringing your tired self. Your tired self. All right, Fevz, can I just pay you a little bit? No, just stay with me. You've had three hours sleep. So I've got the tired Fevzi. I listened when you were on before. Just listen to yourself when you had energy.
Fevzi, always good to speak to you. How are you?
Afternoon. Yeah, very well, thank you.
Good.
Suitably warm already.
Oh, that's good.
I think it's just the effect you have on me.
Oh, what a steady.
So I get hello, and we get Jamoke getting, oh, you're making me warm and all of that. What on earth is the matter with you?
I should have flirted with you as well. I'm so sorry.
You take whatever direction suits you, fella. But I was very, very underwhelmed with what you came to the table with there. I guess I'm not the first person who said that to you. Anyway, lovely to have you back in the show. The sort of thing that does lift my spirits.
I feel like I've been impugned.
I think so. Lots of tech stuff in the news this week. You know, I always start with a tech question. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, I mean, I'm able to go off into all sorts of rabbit holes now because I've got literally too much time on my hands. The one area that I went into a rabbit hole was how many, just bear with me, it's not going to make any sense until the end. How many reservoirs we've not built, how much my water bill is going up by when these tow rags have got a monopoly on it. Can I say that, Ella? So sorry. Who've got a monopoly on it, having to pay shareholders and dividends, and then I am paying, me being the consumer, of course. And then I look into the future and I go, well, water's going to be a shortage. Some people are going to have to recycle it. And when I look at the data centres and how much water there is that's going to be used by these centres, it feels like there's only trouble ahead, Fevzi. Have I got this one wrong as well?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, it depends on whether these data centers all get built or not. I suspect that they won't be for the reasons that there'll be objections. But also, you know, we hear a lot about the AI bubble. And in particular, we have American companies, you know, over here saying, well, your electricity is too expensive and all the rest of it. We've had Elon Musk saying that. So it is a problem. I also think that the technology will develop and in time use less water, but certainly, you know, in the coming years, yeah, we're going to have a real problem.
Yeah. I mean, I wish we stopped
but you
waiting
can add
for
it to the list. You can add it to the list of real problems. I mean,
I know, but I didn't. I thought you might be waiting for me to do the whole Zuckerberg. We haven't done anything wrong, but we're going to pay tens of billions of pounds. But I think that's a bit obvious.
The Zuckerberg, we haven't done anything wrong, but here's $19 billion.
Yeah, I don't. But I think that everybody expects me to ask you that, so that's boring. We know that. I think that they're all saying we can regulate ourselves, and at some point we're going to have to find out. Let's get into it, Fevzi, shall we? Where are we starting today? You want to do those AI songs? Because my wife has a song that she put up, I think, yesterday, the day before, and it came to me and said, you didn't tell me it was AI. And I went, well, can't you hear it's AI? And there's a very popular pop star at the minute, and he's got himself in all sorts of problems for an AI song. What are they doing with these AI songs?
So the story today is that Australia has banned songs that are largely or wholly created by AI from Australia's music charts, to which I say good luck telling the difference. You know, it's really interesting because some of this smacks of, you know, what the musicians' union used to do in this country in the 1970s and 80s with Top of the Pops, and you know, when you had like people miming, you had to have real musicians standing by so their jobs were not being taken. This story works on two levels. One is, you know, job protection, and it's just another field in which AI is taking human jobs. But the other is when we think about art and what it is, and does it matter? If you can't tell it's not human, does it matter if a piece of music still...
it does. Of course it matters. I'm answering the question. I know that you're not used to presenters answering questions on the beat, but I'm answering your question. Yeah, of course it matters. I am a big fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I nearly didn't go watch Spider-Man after I read how many, cartoonists, you know, all the designers they're laying off, because obviously once they've got one designer, and they stick it into an AI thing, they don't need hundreds of them anymore. But it's a company that's making billions of pounds. How much is enough, surely?
No, look, it's a fair question. But first of all, this is coming and we better decide what we're going to do about it. Yeah, are we going to have separate charts for AI music? And, you know, I'm reminded of when John Lennon was asked one time about the meaning of his lyrics. And he said, how do I know what they mean? I only wrote them. I'm paraphrasing. But in essence, what he was saying was, the meaning of the song is what it means to the individual who's listening to the song. And it's the same as a portrait. And so even if, you know, it was produced by a brain-dead AI, and AIs are not brain-dead, but even if it were, does it matter if it moves you? Maybe it doesn't move you. Maybe you have that. But we will get to the point where this sort of differentiation will be seen as discriminatory. The AIs will, you know, they will be...
I'm being discriminatory against the AI, am I?
Well, essentially, if you think, where are we heading with this? We're heading for a life form, right? With life forms. We're talking about beings that will be sentient, that will meet all the definitions of life. And we will, as humans, we will continue to redefine life
won't. You feel like, you sound like you've swapped places. They won't have... nuance. They won't have emotion. They won't have compassion. They'll just go. Anybody under 4'8" who's got a long-lasting health problem, it's cheaper to let them die than to work on them. They're not gonna operate like that.
Yeah, you need to look at the trajectory, right? Not where. Think of a tennis ball being hit by a tennis player. You don't look at where the ball is when it's in contact with the tennis racket. You look at where it's about to go, right? And the direction of travel is that we will continuously change definitions to exclude AIs from things that we hold to be inherently human. But eventually, we will have to concede that we cannot tell. And that was Turing's test, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Turing's test for what is intelligence is, if you're speaking to an entity in the next room and you cannot tell if it's human or not, then it's passed the Turing test. It is intelligent. But beyond intelligence, you know, look, when you display emotion, I see signs of that emotion. I see it on your face. I see, you know,
you see weakness. Weeping. You see weakness, don't you?
No, I see you weeping like a young girl. You know, these things. But these are just markers, right? I can't see your neurology. I don't see the underlying, neurons firing in your brain, whatever is causing that. And in the same way, you won't be able to see that in an AI-based system. So, I mean, this is quite a broad point, but my point is that this law is very, in Australia, it's very interesting. I actually support it, but I just worry that you're not really going to be able to tell. Interestingly, Anthropic, who make the Claude AI system, recently announced that it was going to watermark all of its...
That's a big problem, wasn't it?
All of its... Well, it's a huge problem because they're going to put a watermark into anything that's touched their AI, right? But if I produce a piece of creative work and it's got the watermark on it, what does that really tell the recipient? Does it say that it wrote it completely and I haven't even read it at one extreme?
Or I've used it to just, you know, tidy it up.
Or have I done it as an advanced grammar checker?
I think that you and I talk about AI on this show more than governments talk about it, if I'm honest with you. And part of why I kind of rail against some of the things that you say, even though I agree with you, is that we're heading into something, the consequences of which we don't understand. I think I heard this on the radio, the one that you're talking about. Is it that the Australian ones are Kylie Music? It's a big song, I think a Kylie Minogue song or something like that. Mm-hmm. And one's a dance version, and one's the original version. I think I heard it on Five Live, and I quite liked the dance version. And nobody knew that it was AI. And I am minded, keeping the station London, that you know University College London have done an operation today, which is wholly aided by AI. I just think we have to have a conversation about the not you and I mean states need to have it, but I think in the rush to be the first, to be the best, we're just going to blindly go down that one. We'll come back to that, but you need to save me some money. What have we got today?
Okay, so we got some gadgets. First one is from a Swedish company called Audio Pro. They were founded, I think, about 1978, and they're known for high sound quality Scandinavian design. Think sort of Bose, that sort of idea. They've produced a multi-room Wi-Fi speaker called the A15W. So this looks like a high quality Bluetooth speaker, but it contains Wi-Fi and it's multi-room. So you may think of the brand Sonos is probably the best known brand that does this, but this one is better than the Sonos in some important ways. So with multi-room, the idea is that you have one of these speakers in several rooms, and yes, they can all be playing, you know, different things, or I can have, you know, Eddie Nesta on BBC Radio London in every room. So as I walk around the house, I'm not tethered to my kitchen, you know, with bated breath waiting on your next word. I can actually walk around the house and hear everything. And it works particularly well with music as well, because it's perfectly synchronized. So it's much more than, say, just a Bluetooth speaker, although it will do that. And the A15W has a built-in battery, which is unusual for these sorts of speakers. So you can do up to 19 hours, but take it in your garden. But it's the sort of thing, it's like the Sonos ones where you end up collecting them. So you buy one and it's great, and then you buy another one.
That's what my mate did.
Yeah, they're quite addictive, I have to say, and they're not cheap. So this one is at this price. The A15W is £349. You can get it for a smidge over 300 if you shop around. I've given it 4 stars out of 5. What I particularly like about it, and I mentioned Sonos, is that this one, like the Sonos, supports AirPlay 2, which is the Apple wireless casting standard between Apple devices. But unlike the Sonos, this one also natively supports Google Cast. So if you've already got Google Cast speakers or devices in your home, they can form a part of the same network of speakers. So this is a bit more... Sonos is good, but it's expensive, and it also locks you down into their ecosystem to a much greater extent than Audio Pro do. So Audio Pro, not as big a player in this field, but actually the speaker is excellent. I couldn't fault it at all. And it supports Bluetooth, Spotify Connect, Tidal Connect. It's also got a 3.5mm analog input and a subwoofer output, so you can make it part of a really good audio system. I also connected it to an Echo, you know, an Amazon Echo device, an Alexa device, and I had, you know, the music I was streaming off there coming out in this glorious audio. So I think it's worth the money. Just be aware that these things are addictive.
Right, and as somebody who lost the case for his MX4s and broke the handle of his MX5s and is now looking to repair them, anything that says headphones, I'm all up for. And
you're
I know
ears,
that this is...
I'm,
oh, well done. Very good. I set that up for you, didn't I? I see four and a half, which is about as high as you go. So let's get this one in, shall we?
Yeah, so this is a brand called Fio, F-I-I-O, The headphones are called FT13, not to be compared with FT1 or any other number after the FT, because it's part Sirius. This is a pair of Sirius wired closed-back hi-fi headphones, okay? So closed-back means that the sound is sort of encapsulated into the cup and doesn't pollute the air around you with noise pollution. So, you know, not everyone else has to listen to your music. But this is aimed at people who put sound quality ahead of, you know, certain things like Bluetooth, noise cancelling and other convenience features. This is all about the sound. They're not cheap, but they are, I think, great value. You can have them for as cheaply as about £259. And I love the materials that they use. I don't know if you can see the pictures I sent through, but they've got real wooden ear cups as well, and they use a natural wood, and it comes in two colors, black, sort of a high gloss black, or this very rich sort of red colored wood as well. So they look great. The drivers in them are 60 millimeter drivers, which is almost unheard of. Even in a pair of high-end headphones, you might have 40 millimeters drivers. The bigger driver just means that it can deliver much deeper bass, lower distortion. It's more effortless and spacious sound. So it produces sound that other headphones really cannot match at anywhere near this price. By the way, I just looked up the wood. It's called a South American Purple Heart wood. And it's naturally purple. If you buy the purple ones, it's all deep red colour. Quite remarkable. Two sets of ear pads with it. One is, would you believe, lambskin, and the other is suede. So one gives a sort of tighter sound and the other one a sort of warmer sound. So the ear cups change not only how it feels on your head, but also the type of sound that you get. The cable is kind of interesting because you don't just get the 3.5 millimeter jack. You get the sort of audiophile 4.4 millimeter, which is what's called a balance connection, which means it can't be interfered with by other devices, you know, in terms of the audio. So 4.5 stars, quite remarkable. I find the Fio brand kind of interesting because they're really not well known. They're a sort of best kept secret, but ultimately, they seem to produce, you know, amazing things for the price. Oh, and I should mention they're also 32 ohms, which means that they will work with normal consumer devices. A lot of high-end headphones, you end up needing to have a specialist headphone amplifier to actually use them with, but this will work with just about everything.
Why? Have you got one more for me? And I need to ask you about a place in heaven. You want to go for yep. First AI fitness companion? We need to put the fifth gear on and put our foot down on this one, but it just sounds intriguing.
Yeah, well, this is a nice use of AI. We hear a lot of negatives about AI. This is a sort of unique use. It's from a brand called Body Park, BODYPARK. It's called the Body Park Atom. I've got one in front of me. It's a device that acts as a personal fitness coach. It watches you when you exercise. It turns you into a stick figure. So imagine all your joints become nodes and it draws lines between them in its AI head. So it can see your movement in front of it. So it not only counts your repetitions or analyzes your movement, but it gives you real-time spoken feedback on your technique. So if you're new to training, or if you train on your own, you know, you can't afford a gym membership or something, this is really quite a good way of doing it. The hardware is beautiful. It's like it looks like a little fat Buddha, like two balls, one smaller ball on top of a bigger ball. The smaller ball is the camera, and the bigger ball is an OLED screen, which is a very crisp, sharp screen on which you can see the data. And it literally talks back to you and it tells you how you're doing, which I think is great. I'm not, you may know, despite my ripped physique, I'm not a gym bunny, but I've found it quite useful just at my desk. And it's been sort of tracking my movements, reminding me when to stand up, but also watching me do sort of sitting exercises in my chair. Not the Tai Chi ones that you see all over YouTube, but I try and do that. And this has been quite remarkable for that. I've given it 4 stars out of 5. This price is $229. I think the promotional price is just under $200 at the moment. And I think the website is bodypark.fit. So quite a unique device, but I also thought very interesting. And they keep updating the software, which is a good sign. You know, it's becoming more functional. So you buy the hardware, but it gets smarter and more capable over time.
All I heard you say is that little Buddha. I thought you were describing yourself there.
It looks like a little fat Buddha. It does, because it's got...
Don't be so harsh.
Imagine the lower ball... the lower ball is just smaller than a tennis ball, and the upper ball is just smaller than a ping pong ball.
Right, I need some money coming in. Can you help me? And we're already over time, so be minded of that. We did What Can We Throw Away yesterday, and it was amazing how much electrical stuff. But the one thing that everybody had boxes and boxes of was wires, cables, leads. Yes. Is there a cable, wire, leads heaven?
Do they go to heaven, you mean?
Do they go to heaven? Can I get some?
They strangle us in our sleep, unfortunately.
You're going to say no, honey. I can already tell. You're stringing me up for disappointment. We've got soap, the scart lead. You're never going to need that anymore. The video lead. Don't judge me. I've just told you about something that makes me vulnerable, and here you are judging me. That's not the point of having you on the show.
I judge you whether you're vulnerable or not. I don't discriminate.
How can people find out more about you?
You can come to www.gadgetdetective.com.
Go to sleep. God bless you, mate. This is BBC Radio London.